a different kind of credit freeze.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Consumer advocates are applauding this morning a decision by one of the big three credit bureaus. USA Today reports TransUnion will offer Americans the ability to freeze personal credit histories as a tool against identity theft. A freeze prevents information about your all-important FICO score from being issued, essentially locking out thieves trying to open accounts with stolen Social Security numbers. TransUnion is breaking ranks with Experian and Equifax on the issue. It reportedly plans to start providing the service next month. Seems everybody's got a plan to fix the subprime mess. The White House, the Federal Reserve, and Congress, to name a few. But will any of them succeed? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler gives the proposals a once-over.
The White House plans to use the Federal Housing Authority to let some homeowners refinance into insured mortgages. Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, calls it the most direct approach.
It means they will get a lower interest rate because those who finance mortgages are willing to do so at a lower rate with that government guarantee.
But he says that plan only applies to about 80,000 homeowners. Another plan would allow mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to buy so-called jumbo loans worth upwards of $417,000. Lowe says that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could have a big impact by entering the market.
They can, and often have in the past, very quickly calm down mortgage markets that are in turmoil.
Even with the fixes, Lowe expects subprime foreclosures to stay in the double digits for another year. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Some days there are peaks, some days there are valleys. Wall Street will be trying to climb back up the mountain of doubt again today. The Dow slid back 0.33% yesterday. The Nasdaq descended almost 0.5%. The S&P 500 dropped 0.2%. More news on the global rush by stock exchanges to merge and form alliances across borders. Yesterday there was word the Nasdaq stock market and the Dubai stock exchange were teaming up to buy a group of Nordic exchanges. At the same time, Dubai and another Gulf kingdom, Qatar, or Qatar, if you prefer, have bought up stakes in the London Stock Exchange. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is here with more on that. Good day to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Bob.
So it sounds like the start of yet another takeover battle.
It looks like it. There's a bit of bad blood between these two. I mean, the Qatar Investment Authority had been negotiating with Nasdaq to buy its stake in the London Exchange. So it was very miffed, to say the least, that Dubai was getting it instead. It does indeed raise the prospect of these two rival Gulf states who are anyway vying with each other to set up financial centers in the Middle East, that they will now battle it out for control of the London Exchange.
Well, we know that Dubai, when it was involved in deals over here, has prompted national concerns about security issues. Any national security review in Britain over this LSE battle?
Not at all. When this story broke yesterday, it barely registered on the radar. Qatar and Dubai are seen as moderate pro-Western Arab countries. They're not seen as a threat. And indeed, the LSE has welcomed the Qatar stake because the thinking is this could attract more business, more listings from the Middle East.
No concern, though, about government ownership here? No concern about sovereign wealth issues?
No. I mean, the UK is famously laid back about this issue. You mentioned the Dubai Ports World controversy in the US. Well, that happened because Dubai Ports World was buying a British company, P&O, which owned the terminals, but it also owned two whole ports in Britain, and there was no anxiety at all about that here, much less opposition.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you very much.
Okay, Bob.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Have I got a job for you? How'd you like to run the National Portrait Gallery? Or maybe the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago? Those are just a few of the jobs open in the museum world right now. In fact, more than 24 major museums in this country are looking for people to run them. more openings than at any other time in the last 20 years. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli has more.
The problem isn't just how many museum director positions are open right now. Jason Kaufman of the Art newspaper says
there doesn't seem to be a very large pool of candidates who can fill those positions.
That's because of what's expected of museum administrators, an ability to raise money and manage budgets as well as manage art. Kaufman says he talked to one experienced curator who was eager to step into management, who was rejected by 17 museums because he had no experience in fundraising.
They didn't ask him, first, what is your vision for the institution? They said, how much money have you raised?
Of course, it's not just museum directors who are being expected to do this. The chiefs of many not-for-profit institutions are, like college presidents. It can be tough for people with a passion for Picasso to develop a feel for finance and fundraising. Museum studies professor Selma Holo of the University of Southern California says there's an art to it.
What is fundraising? Fundraising isn't a mechanical thing where you simply go and you go to a rich person and you say, I need your money. Fundraising is a way of articulating the importance of your institution to society. But not everybody is suited to it.
Holo says there are more programs now where the education goes beyond art history and now involves teaching aspiring curators how to lead, too. Hollow says management and budgetary skills are seen as critical for the future of museums.
It's not mystical. It's learnable. Those who come up with the artistic decisions can also be taught to make the business decisions.
Some people worry that nowadays too many museums are run like businesses. But there's always that quote from Andy Warhol. He said, being good in business is the most fascinating kind of art. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And in the same place, I'm Bob Moon. If you'd like to hear something repeated or just check out the latest numbers during the day, it's all waiting for you at our website, marketplace.org. And thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.